is Davin's Den.
Is Davin's Den.
All right, thank you guys for hanging with us. We're back. Part two of the show. We're going to start off with a very racist Thanksgiving, Charlie Brown. Or is it? I don't know. Maybe it's not. Charlie Schulz's A Charlie Brown Thanksgiving is a classic Peanuts special from 1973 that airs during... Wow, this shit's older than me. That airs during the holidays. But one particular scene has been stirring up controversy in recent years. In the scene, Franklin, who is the only black character, is sitting by himself on one side of a Thanksgiving table while most of the other kids sit together on the other side. Linus has seated where Joey wants to sit, at the head of the table. Joe should have brought a blanket. He could have sat at the head more often. Some people consider the scene problematic and even racist, arguing that Franklin is separated from the rest of the characters who are white, and he preferred dark meat. No, I don't know if that's true. What?
No, you didn't!
No, I didn't. I didn't. It's the voices in your head. Darnell Hunt, Dean of Social Sciences and Professor of Sociology and African American Studies at UCLA, tells Yahoo Live, having Franklin on this long side by himself, you could interpret that no one wanted to sit next to him. Actually, you know what? To be fair, let me stop right here. Franklin was at the table. You know who was not at the table? Pigpen. Pigpen wasn't even invited to this little soiree.
Because who the hell wants him there? That sloppy fuck. I don't want that dust all over the fucking cornbread and shit like that. Stay home, stupid. Take a bath.
It's a very
sloppy fuck.
It's a very smelly Thanksgiving. So, I mean...
A very dirty Thanksgiving.
Yeah, he likes dirty rice. So, but the argument that they don't even want Franklin there... That's not true. They could have. Can you imagine poor Pigpen just wandering around the neighborhood? Nobody will sit with him. And who are these parents that are just letting their kids eat outside on Thanksgiving? None of them have families, but I digress. Anyway.
No, Pigpen's house doesn't have a bathtub, but that's another night.
Yeah, real. Yeah. Joe, how dare you? How dare you shame the financially insecure? It's very offensive.
We no, Pigpen's financial situation was never disclosed.
Well,
that's an assumption on your part.
It is an assumption. I mean, you know, I'm assuming he's living on the street. He was the homeless character.
No, he was just a dirty kid. Everybody knew, like, the kid that smelled or something at school.
I did not.
Yeah.
I did not.
He was no?
A, you know, I mean, he didn't bathe. You could live in a nice house and not bathe. I mean, he had probably had shit parents. You're letting your kid go out there to come to calling him Pigpen. You don't give him a bath.
So now we're saying he has abusive parents. They're neglecting him.
Yeah.
Okay.
They could have been dirty hippies. No.
Can you a little?
That was the time.
A family services Thanksgiving. they just bust in while Pigpen's family's eating some beans out of a can around the Thanksgiving Day table, just letting Pigpen stink. They take him away, hauled out. Doesn't even get, you know, Snoopy's flying overhead. The Red Baron reports back to everybody else.
Yes.
You leave my little Claude alone. See, his name isn't Pigpen at home. They don't know.
No.
Let him eat his beans out of the sharp edge can.
But you don't want him there. You make a nice meal. You prepared all this food to sit down, and it's like sitting next to an open sewer because this little son of a bitch can't fucking splash water on himself, you know?
Little open sewer. Oh, by the way, the chat is very excited to see Joe this week.
We're all excited to see Joe. It's very exciting to see Joe. Enjoy it. Luxuriate in Joe. Enjoy him. okay, that makes me question the caliber of people we have watching this. But I digress.
Well, one of them is Tammy, and one of them is Deb.
Well, all right, I have questions then, many questions.
But we have a full house.
Okay. I got to apologize to Tammy. I was supposed to call her for a writing meeting. I just got caught up in the holidays. I'll call you this week. We'll get the thing going again.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, are we done being secretary to you? Can we go on with our stupid show? Thank you, Joe, I will. Hunt, who remembers feeling included in ways I hadn't before. When he first saw Franklin in a Phoenix comic strip, says that Schultz probably thought he was doing a good thing by including the character at all. But Hunt says it is a classic example of what can be missed even when you're trying to be inclusive. Today this would not be acceptable, says Hunt. It really does speak to the need for more inclusive creators and storytellers behind the scenes who produce these images. That's why it's so important to have people in the writer's room and in production who might be more sensitive to these issues. But not everyone views the scene as problematic. On November 20th, the Charles M. Schultz Museum hosted an online event with black cartoonists Rob Armstrong, Darren Bell, Elizabeth Montague, and always a fucking name, and Bianca Zunis, I guess. It's her last name starts with an X, so screw this bitch.
No idea.
I mean, that's a little ostentatious. Unless, like, you're a porn star, don't start your name with an X, all right? Nobody wants that. Nobody wants an X in a last name. First name we know is Xavier. If you're a god, maybe it's Xerxes or something. But everybody else, knock it off.
But I'm like, you're always going to be called last.
That's true. Well, I mean, you could have a Y or a Z, Joe. There are two more letters.
Yeah, well, still.
Not in Joe's dictionary.
Called, maybe they want to be called Almost Last.
Almost Last. Bell, who won a Pulitzer Prize for editorial cartooning, said that a lot of cartoons are like Rorschach tests, in which people have their own interpretations of certain scenes. When I saw that image of Franklin, my first thought was Charles Schultz really wanted Franklin to be seen, and Franklin was really important. He added that Peanuts was a kind and inclusive comic strip. Armstrong, who created the comic strip Jumpstart, said that he relates to the scene of Franklin sitting by himself based on his experiences at school, but he says that Schultz, who died in 2000, was not a racist, calling him his idol and a wonderful human being. Schultz, who knew Armstrong professionally, reportedly asked for permission to use Armstrong's last name for Franklin's character when Schultz realized Franklin needed one in the 1990s. The character Franklin first appeared in the Peanuts comic strip on July 31st, 1968. A retired teacher named Harriet Glickman convinced Schultz to add a black character to the strip that year. According to the New York Times, following the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. in 1968, Glickman started thinking about mass media's influence in shaping the unconscious attitudes of our kids and felt that something could be done through our comic strips. Glickman wrote a letter to Schultz, "I'm sure one doesn't make radical changes in so important an institution without a lot of shockwaves from syndicates, clients, etc. You can, however, a stature and reputation which can withstand a great deal." She added, "I hope that the result will be more than one black child." Schultz responded to Glickman's letter, according to the New York Times, saying that he appreciated her suggestion of including a black child in his comic strip. But he added that he was faced with the same problem that other cartoonists are who wish to comply with your suggestion. He added that we all would like very much to be able to do this, but said that each of us is afraid it would look like they are patronizing their black friends. According to the New York Times, Glickman shared Schultz's response with his permission with a black friend of hers. That friend, Kenneth Kelly, suggested that a black character be introduced in a casual day-to-day scene rather than making a big announcement to suggest a racial amity. Racial amity. Just whatever the word is. It doesn't start with an X, so I don't give a shit. That was apparently all Schultz needed to hear. Franklin joined the Peanuts comic strip a few months later, but it reportedly wasn't without a fight when the cartoon's publisher, United Feature Syndicate, allegedly questioned adding a black character. Schultz is said to have responded, "Either you run it the way I drew it, or I quit." Listen, I don't think any of us think Schultz was racist. Can we all agree on that?
Yeah. We can absolutely agree on that. And for him to turn to United Syndicate, what was the name of the company?
I think it was United Feature Syndicate.
United Features, to turn to them and say, either, you know, he goes in or I'm not doing this anymore. And the way he's seated at the table, it's not like he's alone. It looks like he fits. Also, another part of the story is they wanted to have him on that side of the table to show the inclusion, specifically show the inclusion, and not to have him mixed in with the other characters.
Well, that sounds like separate but equal. So I don't know if that's good. Listen, here's what I think
you're
it comes down
to. You're talking about the 1970s, though.
I think what it comes down to is it's a white guy drawing a cartoon from a good place, but I think one of the people makes a good point in this article. It's like, that's why you need all different perspectives in there. Like, I never watched it and saw anything wrong with it, but if you had, like, people of color in the process, they might have said, hey, you know what? This is good. Let's not have him sit by himself. Let's not do that. Let's have him mixed in like he's just one of the gang. Charles M. Schultz probably never thought of it in a negative way. But if you have more people with more backgrounds, they look at the world differently. So maybe some of them did see it as racist. I never
but
watched.
I don't know something. I mean, and this is another example of suddenly we're all outraged. This cartoon, it's not, the cartoon didn't just come out. This was from 1970. So for everybody, for year after year after year after year after year after year after year, after year to watch and go, there's a problem. No, he didn't mean it to be that way. He wrote it. He wanted to be inclusive with it. So it looks just like more people just looking for a problem.
Yeah. Listen. The critiques are valid, but I don't think Charles M. Schulz is a racist guy. Now the question is, we've seen with some things where they run it with a disclaimer. Should they run it with a disclaimer?
No.
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 Oh my God! No. That's really pointing out, hey, look, we have a black kid here. We like him. Everything's cool. Like.
We could say, listen, he was sitting by himself, Charles M. Schulz wrote it for him to be in a place of honor. We understand some people might not see, but here's the background on it. You're not gonna do a whole mini documentary like they did with Gone with the Wind on Franklin. You're not necessarily gonna do that. But you could add a disclaimer in case anybody gets it wrong, if you just want to set people straight. Because Charles M. Schulz's peers are standing by him, including the people of color. So, you don't want Charles M. Schulz and his vision to be misconstrued.
No, and I think that, like what Joe said, that it was a righteous and brave thing for him to do to push the status quo. And he's like, look, screw you. This is the way I drew it. The kid's in there. And if you don't want it, I walk. So he was trying to do the right thing, and then all of a sudden to say, but it wasn't enough. Oh, my God,
That's also, like I said, be misconstrued. The damn thing has been shown every Thanksgiving for 50 fucking years. I mean, well, we don't be, what's the big, suddenly, like I said, now everything's suddenly a problem. It wasn't meant to be racist. That's the way he drew it, and the thing has been on, it didn't come out.
But as people who live predominantly in white areas, Joe, and mostly like have, a pretty white bread existence, we don't know if this was. Oh my God, Joe, are you COVID? We don't know if, people of color did feel sensitivity about it all these years. And there were a lot of arguments and perceptions that people of color have had for years that white people were not listening to or giving it any time of day. And so now, with the Black Lives Movement in particular, they feel more free to speak their minds and say certain things. And it's like, well, I think our first duty is, clueless white people sometimes, is to listen. Now, that doesn't mean that every individual speaks for all people of color, and some people are just going to go completely haywire and see fault in everything. Or they're more sensitive because of something that happened to them. They're an individual. So it's like, okay, that, you feel a little sensitive about that, but we should at least listen.
Yeah, but the thing about it, too, is you got to think, that was 1970. I mean, 1968 was a big year of turmoil. We were 2 years away.
Yep.
People wrote Schulz. It would be nice if you had, a person of color, a black kid or black person in the cartoon. He said, that's a great idea. He put it in there. United Artists said, we don't want it in there. So if there was going to be an outcry about that, wouldn't you think it would be then when a lot of the social injustice was actually going on and not as looked back at? It was actually in real time. If they thought there was injustice 1970 with all the,
1973.
Social injustice, they would have said something then.
It's 1973, so it's five years.
5 years. But still, we were in a time where we were in a time of change. And a time when things were turning, where people were having a voice, where there were protests and marches, almost as much so as now. But back then, when it was in real time, you would think if there was a problem with it, with everybody having an opinion, it would have been said back then. They wouldn't have waited almost 50 years to say something about this.
Well, listen. I don't think. Listen, I think black people have a lot more things to be outraged than Franklin. It's just an interesting thing. I don't think Franklin's going to make or break anybody. You can't really even remember much about Franklin. To be fair, he was just kind of a secondary character, like your Pigpen, You know, a secondary character. But Franklin got invited. He wasn't even a Schroeder. I mean, Schroeder got to play the piano for Lucy Van Pelt. He was a secondary character. It's okay. You know what? It is what it is. At least he wasn't the Red Baron.
And you want to know something? If you want to up the ante, why wasn't Pigpen there? That's shaming.
That's what I said.
He wasn't invited.
It was filth shaming.
Crazy.
It was filth shaming. I agree.
Because the Board of Health banned him.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't want Pigpen at my Thanksgiving just stinking up the plate, dirt all over. Why is there dirt in the fucking stuffing? Because stupid can't take a bath.
You know, he's doing the best he can. He's going through puberty right now. You know, you get to be a little gamey when the hormones are kicking. You know.
A little gamey. Clouds of dust and dirt flying around you. He's more than a little gamey.
You know, listen.
He looked like a fucking dump truck coming out of the sand pit with all that shit coming out. Sorry about that. But, sorry about that. But, you know.
Hazard of the job.
All right, let's move on. Black Santa. An Arkansas man says he put up a Black Santa on his lawn for Christmas to spread joy in his neighborhood, only to be left extremely angry after receiving a racist letter in which an anonymous person ordered him to remove the decoration. Chris Kennedy said he's been putting up the 8-foot-tall inflatable outside his home in North Little Rock for 3 years. I've done this year after year, and I haven't had any issue. Because they were getting to you, Chris. Relax. Don't be so fucking impatient. But on Tuesday, he received a disturbing letter claiming that his decoration was making him, quote, the laughing stock of the neighborhood. At least he's not one of those Franklins. Please remove your Negro Santa. You should not try to deceive children into believing that I am a Negro or that I'm real. No, I added that. Said the letter.
Hey, you know, stay in your lane, non-Christian boy.
Why does this sleigh have spinners on them?
It's a low riding sleigh. All right.
Cool.
Why is Rudolph's nose red? Oh, that's bling. Anyway, thank you. Bling.
Well, Santa's face was darkened because he came down the chimney. There's ashes.
Santa, now we don't do that. Have some milk and cookies, then wash your face. We don't walk around with soot in our face, Santa. Not anymore. This isn't 1932.
Wait a minute. Does anybody ever see Santa and Pigpen in the same place?
No. Both filthy animals. But one you invite into your home and the other you won't even invite to Thanksgiving outside. What?
I mean, unless you go to the one house that I went to about 4 years ago where the guy, he made cookies for Santa Claus and the guy goes, yeah, have a cookie. I'm wearing white gloves. Oh, you can have a cookie. No, you asshole. I get chocolate all over my white gloves. Fuck you.
I would have had the cookie. I would have had the cookie, but that's me.
Thank God I only have 2 shows this year. I'm only doing 2 Christmas Eve shows. I'm not doing the season.
Only 2 families will have a very disappointing Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, from the bottom of my heart, I hope half of them go bad so we have at least one Hell Gig Santa story.
Yeah. 2 gig Christmas Eve. 1-2. Regular customer, so I know what I'm getting myself into.
There you go. So anyway, this letter is signed only as Santa Claus. I'm a Caucasian white man to you and have been for 600 years. You being jealous of my race is no excuse for dishonesty, the letter continued, failing to capitalize Caucasian though the term is a proper noun. Yeah.
That's a little shade on behalf of the editors there.
The letter goes on to tell Kennedy, who is black, that he should move to a neighborhood out east with the rest of your racist kind. Kennedy said the anonymous letter left him extremely angry, though he doesn't plan to take down Saint Nick. The children love it, and that's what Christmas is about. It's about the children. So Joe wrote the blog about it. Joe has Santa Claus experience. What do you say, Joe?
Yeah, this is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, you know, it's the interpretation of Santa Claus. And Santa Claus is basically a place of love and peace. And to point that out is ridiculous. You know, I mean, the guy is just trying to spread some joy. The guy, you know, he's doing a nice thing. So the Santa Claus is black. Who cares? You have a racist guy that's upset about it. I mean, the guy, you know, it's absolutely stupid, and it's a place of ignorance.
I will say. Because I put in the blog, which is up on davincomedy.com, if you want to read it, a picture of his display. I will say that Santa really did not look black to me. He looked more of, he had like some Trump coloring to him. He looked a little orangey to me. I feel like it was a Trumpy Claus, but that just might be me.
I would not have necessarily pointed to him and go, that's a black Santa Claus.
But you know, it does raise. Listen. We don't really see a lot of multicultural Santa Clauses. Once in a while, you see a black Santa, I guess, but you don't really see a lot of Asians, a lot of blacks. Certainly don't see many Jewish ones. They're always wearing black and dancing around in Brooklyn, but they're not Santa Claus. Yeah. They're just Hasidic. But you know,
when I was a kid, we used to drive back and forth to my Nana's house a lot, and we used to drive through one particular neighborhood in Englewood, New Jersey, that was a predominantly black neighborhood. And I remember seeing one of those pressed plastic Santas, and the Santa was black. And I remember asking my dad, how come that Santa has a black face? And my dad was just like, oh, that's just how they do it in this neighborhood. And I was like, okay. You know, I didn't get it when I was a little kid, but now I totally get it, and I'm down.
But why not have
your kids see that representation?
Were you like, but that's not the real Santa Claus. The real Santa Claus is white, right, Daddy?
Yes. Shut up and put your hood back on, dear. No, I didn't say that.
I mean, think about, like, all the cartoons that we grew up with, and Frosty, Rudolph, all the Christmas stuff. It's always a white Santa. They really should. Now that we're going forward, I guess they should put a black Santa, an Asian Santa. You know, that some of these movies or cartoons should have it, right?
Well, you know what they're saying? If you believe that Santa Claus is the representation of the spirit of Christmas, it doesn't matter what race he is. If you believe that Santa Claus is a representation of a historical person, Chris Kringle or whatever his name was from Germany, well, then that's another thing. So it's like, St. Nicholas, white, it doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter.
You want to know something? It's the interpretation. And the whole thing about this is joy. Joy. Mm-hmm. That's what's in the story, and it's joy. Now, one of the reasons I'm not doing, I spoke to the booker, and I'm not really doing the Santa Claus gigs during the month, is when I put that suit on, okay, I'm Santa Claus. It sounds cool, but I'm Santa Claus. I'm the guy. And to be COVID conscious, if kids run up and you tell the kids to step back and, you know, so on and so, and you're going to just stand at your distance and stuff like that, you're taking the joy out of being Santa Claus. Kids are innocent. They don't know if they're running up by accident. A three-year-old girl runs up and you're going to tell her you got to step back. It's not Santa Claus, and I can't do that gig if I have to put that restriction on people.
You should be.
I mean, the ones I'm doing on New Year's, Christmas Eve, the 30 minute shows. You run in, you read the story, you do that, you're out. You're not doing an hour show. You're not doing 3 hours at a hall. You know, so basically, you know, and there's going to be social distancing, and the two clients know that, and I've done their houses for years. But like I said, it's the joy of Christmas, the joy of being Santa Claus. When you put that suit on, you're portraying this thing of joy.
You should be COVID Claus. You should be
the eyes of whoever's looking at.
You should be COVID Claus. You should come in wearing a mask, you know, Lysoling all the kids off before they approach you and everything. You should give everybody Clorox wipes because those are very much in demand right now. You should be doing this. COVID Claus. Yay, it's COVID.
I'm going to be wearing a mask when I come in. You know, I'll be wearing a mask.
Which is what people do when they break into a home. That's what they do. They wear a mask.
You're not going to do blackface Santa this year, are you, Joe?
No.
I wonder if the malls are going to have Santa this year. Huh.
From what I'm seeing, a buddy of mine sent a picture. They're behind plexiglass, and I think the kids go up in front of the plexiglass and tell them what they want.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
My co-worker Danny, because I was telling him about doing Santa Claus shows, and he shot me a picture. He goes, "Yeah, this is at the Englewood Mall, and they had the plexiglass and the kids are in front of the plexiglass telling Santa what they want, you know. And what are you going to do?
Yell through the glass and tell Santa what you want, dear. Oh, my God.
But you know what? If you're a store Santa, you know, at least you have that control with the plexiglass. I walk into a house, and the kids start swarming me. I can't tell them to back off. I'm Santa Claus. I can't. I won't. And that's why I'm just doing the two shows, the two Christmas shows.
I have the solution.
A lot of money this year. But
I have the solution for you. What you do is when one of the kids run to you, you rub one of them up against your crotch. Pretty soon all the kids are going to distance away, and that's how you establish social distancing. And you didn't have to say a word.
Yeah, there's going to be social distancing for me, too, for fucking 10 to 20.
Right. But you were a good guy about it.
I hope you're going to explain that as a character witness during the hearing, as they're ready to lock me up for being a creep.
Well, why would I stop?
You know what?
Why would I stop that?
I like that Joe is very... Sorry.
What, Pip?
I like that Joe is very method about his Santa presentation, and that he is full-on Santa. I don't want to have to, like, stand behind plexiglass. I want this to be the real presentation
of
Santa.
You put that suit on. These kids, you know, everything you loved about Santa when you were a kid, you could see it in their eyes looking at you. And
yes.
For somebody that loves Santa and believes it, say you, and especially they, it's not a kid, you've got that obligation to bring that back to the kids.
Listen, one Halloween, I was at a house party with a lot of people that I didn't know, and it was like a family party. And I was dressed, my costume was a fail because I was supposed to be a parrot, and my friend was a pirate. But this little girl thought that... I was a lot lighter than that.
Fucked the whole thing up.
I was a lot lighter then. But anyway, it was a costume fail because this little girl was convinced I was a giant chicken. And I had a cover over my face and, you know, like a whole headdress kind of thing. So it wasn't like I looked like a human. I looked like some kind of mascot or something. And this little girl just fell in love with this giant chicken and wanted me to dance with her. And if you know me, you know I don't dance. I'm not comfortable.
Yeah.
I was like, this little girl wants to dance with a giant chicken. Who am I to say no? So I was out there being a giant chicken dancing, you know? I mean, like, because she was excited about it. And it's like, you do things for little kids. Even me.
There's a lot of moments that there was. I did a show. Not a show. I went to a client's house, I don't know, 5 years ago, whatever. So I go in there, and doing the thing. And the lady goes, do you mind if my daughter plays some Christmas songs for you on the piano? And I'm like, of course, I don't have a problem. And she's playing these Christmas songs, and there's a dual thing going on here. She has the memory of playing Christmas music to Santa Claus. I'm sitting there, and she's playing the Christmas songs that my mom used to play when we used to sit at the piano when I was a kid. And I'm struggling to keep my shit together because I'm starting to get all choked up, you know, because it brought back a memory. So there's a lot of magic moments. I mean, there's a lot of times I want to strangle everybody in my fucking path. Don't get me wrong. But there are a lot of special moments in this, which is the joy of Christmas, the magic of Christmas. And if a guy wants to set up his display with joy and a Santa Claus and his interpretation, who is anybody to write a fucking letter to him saying that he's living a lie? And like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah, really.
Well, I like the fact that this guy's probably an adult and he thinks Santa's real. So
he's like, and he has an opinion on what color he is and how you're supposed to present him,
exactly.
And that he's jealous of white Santa, so he stole him and put Negro Santa, quote unquote, in his place. What kind of reprehensible, nasty fuck is this guy that wrote this letter?
A belligerent person. That's the only thing to say. A belligerent, stupid person.
All right, let's
disgusting.
Move. Let's
who
move
cares?
On.
You know, I mean, really, you're bringing joy to somebody. Who cares?
Let's move on. A offensive license plates in California. California can't enforce a ban on vanity plates it considers offensive to good taste and decency because that violates freedom of speech, a federal judge ruled Tuesday. U.S. District Judge John Tiger, in a case filed in March against Department of Motor Vehicles Director Steve Gorder on behalf of five Californians, always five people causing problems, who were denied permission to put their messages on personalized license plates. Ay, ay, ay. First of all, can we just stop right now? Are you that fucking litigious that because you can't get your license plate, you gotta sue? Die! Die on a black Negro Santa's cock!
If you feel that's an infringement on your freedom of speech and there's a backup on that, why not?
Because I'm an adult and I got shit to do. That's why not.
If you feel that passionate about it, you have every right.
You know what? If you feel that passionate about it, you're one move away from writing a note about Santa Claus. Really. Let's be honest.
No, not really. No, because if you feel that you're just stating something and you're not professing hate or anything like that, and you'll see how the court ruled when you read the story. You know, no, it's not the same thing.
Oh, my God.
It's just so... I understand the issue. It's just I have to agree with Devin. These are the things that you have time for.
Pick your battles.
I want to be you because I don't have time for that petty bullshit. I got bills to pay. I have a pandemic to worry about. Come on.
If you feel that it is a you have something you feel that's not offensive, you want to, and you feel that. You're ruled against it for a reason you don't agree with.
Hold on. Let's stop right now. Anybody who has a vanity plate, douchebag.
What?
Anybody who has a vanity plate, douchebag. First off,
hey,
douchebag. My dad had a vanity plate. I guess he was a douchebag back in the... For what? What do you need? Is your life that empty that you need a specialized word to draw attention to yourself when I'm stuck in fucking traffic and I probably hate you anyway because you're moving too goddamn slow and pick a goddamn lane. So now you... No, enough. It's bad enough you put all those fakakta bumper stickers, unless it's one of mine. It's bad enough you put all those fakakta bumper stickers on your car, but now you need a vanity plate, and we're going to be cute with it. We're going to make the number 8 into like A because they didn't have A, so you could say it like that. Go fuck yourself.
Lisa says go fuck yourself, too.
Okay.
She's got a vanity plate.
Well, then Lisa's a douchebag. I'm sorry.
I want the record to state that in the story, the person that went to sue because he felt that it wasn't his freedom of speech right, I would kind of agree to that to take it to court if you feel that thing. On your end, yeah, douchebag. If you have it, yeah, you're a douchebag.
Fuck you too, Joe.
Who are you? Shut up.
Shut up.
Letters on there, you know.
My license plate says ass man. Fight me.
You know what it says to me? You know what it says to me? Your life is empty. Your life is empty, so you have...
I'll agree.
Right. Yeah. So now, compound that empty life. Now, not only is your life empty, but now my life is so empty that I got denied my little attention-grabbing thing that nobody gives a shit. I'm going to court. Now you're a douchebag squared. Forget about the merits of the case. We'll get to the merits of the case. My point is, douchebag squared. I am sorry. You're the type of a person who needs to be fucking smothered by an 8-foot-tall African-American Santa Claus. I hope he kills you.
You know what? Okay, so my life is empty. You don't have to talk about it on the show.
Yes, I do. It fills up the first hour usually.
the way I drive and the way I treat other drivers, I have to stick and be as incognito as I can be.
Absolutely. Yes. You know what? Yes. Said by somebody.
I know that for a fact.
No, Joe is right. He's reading that is said by somebody who wants to get from point A to point B as quickly as possible, and he don't want no fucking witnesses. Good for you, Joe. I agree with you.
Yeah, I don't want some guy with a license plate plank foot cut me off and tell me to go fuck myself. You know, there's only one guy that has plank foot on his car. Curry. Yeah.
I remember driving. driving home from Davins one night, and there was traffic on the thruway, and I was trying to cut in front of you from the lane with the cones cutting off the lane, and I was throwing shit at your car trying to get your attention just to bust your balls, and you would not look at me. You were not letting me in that line. So it's like, yeah, if you had a vanity plate, I could tell.
Yeah. He's driving. Yes. He's got play. He wants to get home. Well, if you want to get in front of him, fucking hit the accelerator, Grandma.
I remember that night. We both went. It was a shit night. It was a load of traffic. I don't realize that sometimes the thruway gets traffic. We're heading home after the show. It's late. We're tired. We just did a 3.5-hour show. I want to go fucking home. And now there's cones. And that's what I want. I wanted to, and at that time of night, that's not like, well, I'll get home a little later. Every minute is a less minute of sleep. Every hour is a less hour of sleep. I'm getting, a chip will attest the same way. So when that happens at that time of night, you're beyond fucking furious.
Listen, Joe, you did the math. You figured 1 minute asleep or Pip dying by crashing into a mountain. I can't say you chose wrong. She survived. You know, you got your minute of sleep. That's good for you.
Oh, and I was so close to his car. I thought that would force the issue. That would force him to look up at me angrily and go, oh, it's a shithead, I know. He didn't look at me.
By that time at night, I am, you know the feeling, Pip. You're just oblivious.
I know.
You had a long day. You just did the show, Pip. You did a 3.5-hour show. And that, you're done. You're spent. You can barely concentrate. You don't know nothing, you know?
All right.
Oh, I know. No, you have the 1,000-yard stare, and I'm trying to sneak in. But I do have a vanity plate.
And you're sitting there going, why didn't I take Bear Mountain Bridge to the Taconic? Shit. There's never construction in the Taconic. Fuck.
All right. So the important members of the show agree that a vanity plate means you're a douchebag. Sorry for the rest. Anyway, let's move on. Let's continue with the story.
I'm sorry. I think that my Zoom is cutting off. Oops.
That's something a douchebag would do right there. Vanity fucking plates. Ugh. From the woman who wants to do the show incognito, she needs fucking attention when she's driving her fucking hoarder mobile. Are you fucking kidding me?
Well, you know, this is one of the little perks that I like.
Uh-huh. Anyway.
Well, I wish that person in England on the back of his car would have a license plate Helix on there.
You know what? We're like twinsies. Mm.
All right, so here's where the issues arose. They included a gay man in Oakland who owns Queer Folks Records and wanted to use the word queer, but was refused because DMV said that might be considered insulting. A fan of the rock band Slayer, who was notified that Slayer, spelled S-L-A-A-Y-R-R, would be considered threatening, aggressive, or hostile, and an RME veteran who wanted to note his nickname and love of wolves with OG Wolf, W-O-O-L-F, but was refused because the DMV said that OG might be construed as the reference to original gangster. He noted a 2017 U.S. Supreme Court case following an Asian-American rock band to call itself The Slants in saying that public speech can't be barred because it may offend people. However, Tiger said the DMV probably could be permitted to deny plates that are, for instance, obscene, profane, or contain hate speech because they fall outside of First Amendment protections. This is a great day for our clients and the 250,000 Californians that seek to express their messages on personal license plates each year. Attorney Wen Fa, douchebag, of the Pacific Legal Foundation, which filed the lawsuit, said in a statement, vague bans on offensive speech allow bureaucrats to inject their subjective preferences and undermine the rule of law. The DMV was reviewing the ruling and declined further comment. All right. I mean, some of these things, what's obscene, what's not obscene? It's all who's interpreting it. I mean, I could see how queer a lot of people would think that's obscene and being insensitive. What is the difference between queer and fag? I could argue fag is the British word for cigarettes. I mean, at some point, you got to draw the line, or don't draw any line. Listen, if we can put fuck you on the license plate, sign me up. I'll be a vain douchebag. I will be the douchebag that has fuck you. But if not, you know, you got to draw the line somewhere. Slants, yeah, man, I could see that offensive. If I called that Asian guy slant, I guarantee you he's fucking calling, you know, so he's calling the home office and bitching about me. You can't do this shit.
It really is hard for them to decide. Like, I mean, there are certain license plates that I'm sure that if you put them on your car, they're going to make you a target. Are you going to drive around with a license plate that says Crips on it or Blood?
I would actually draw. Get cars that each one, depending what neighborhood I was going in, I would drive that car just to be safe.
Well, you know, it's, like I said, it's a case by case thing. Now, in the case of faggot versus queer, faggot is
no. I said fag. Word. I said fag.
Fag is a derogatory word. Where queer is not.
No. Fag is not a derogatory word. Fag is the British word for cigarettes. I could make that argument, and queer can certainly be used in a derogatory way. You know,
if your intention is well, that's the thing. If your intention that comes up is like, I'm an English guy and I like to smoke. And I want, you know,
but you're making the DMV interpret. This ruling makes the DMV do shit they're not designed to do. The best thing the DMV could do is just put out a list of words you can't use. That's the best thing they could. That ends it. Here's our list. You can't use them. Don't bother this shit. Because I don't understand, you know, profanity to one person is not profanity to another one. I don't understand even the word nigga. You know what? To somebody, that's how me and my homies, we talk. To somebody else, that's racist and offensive. I mean, where's the line? You're making the DMV do too much here. This ruling is problematic.
And we have seen in the past that the governmental bureaucrats would take the interpretation of the rulings into their own hands and make decisions that are based on their own religion or their own moral beliefs or whatever system that they follow. And that's not necessarily good for Americans because, you know, we like our freedoms. And there should be maybe perhaps just a list of you can't have these, you know. But it's like when I got my douchebag plate, I had to go through New York DMV, and you have to talk to the person and request it, and they check you, and they ask you, what does it mean, to make sure it's not offensive in some
way.
Well,
that clearly was not done here. I mean, you know, with Slayer and OG Wolf. I mean, see, that's the thing. Now you're doing this interpretation, you're getting too far. Just you know what? Here, fucking do it with vanity plates. That's what I would do. I would go, you know what? You ruined it. You broke it. We tried to do something nice so you could make yourself feel important in this one little marginal aspect of your fucking life, and you ruined it. Now, nobody gets vanity plates.
They're not going to do that because if you ever see your license, I mean, vanity plates are a fortune.
I understand
that's
that.
That's going to be cutting a revenue stream.
I understand.
From them.
I understand. You're right. But
they're never going to get do away with it altogether. Now.
No. They but listen, they just got to come out with a list and go, listen, these are the words. So and somebody's just got to do it because you can't do interpretation every time. This lawsuit is a fucked lawsuit. I mean, listen, some of it's ridiculous, but you're leaving it up to people's interpretation. The Slayer one is ridiculous, but you're leaving it up to interpretation. That's the problem if you don't have a list. Listen, slants. No, I'm sorry. Queer. No, I'm sorry. I know you don't mean it that way, but somebody's gonna bitch somewhere, and we can't have that. If you whiny people would stop suing, we could let you have shit, but you ruined it.
Tomorrow I'm gonna call up and see if douchebag is available.
It won't be. You can't
all
have
I know
it.
Is I've been carrying the same plate over four different vehicles.
Yeah.
My RAV4, two of my Elements, and now on the CRV. In the same plate, and that's going back from 2002 when I got the RAV4.
Listen, it comes down to this. Either allow everything, which I'm fine with. If you want fuck you on the back of a plate, I guess I'll explain it to my kid. Or just have a list. You can't, like I said, when we're going to move on, you can't have these mid-level people working at the DMV who just want to do their job. It's a thankless fucking job. Everybody hates them. And now they have to decide what you can have on a license plate. And if they don't like your ruling, they're going to fucking sue and proclaim it some free speech victory. No, it's not. You know what? If you're saying something on your license plate, I assume you have nothing to say at all. It's seriously, it's a step below bumper stickers and memes. A vanity plate is a step below a bumper sticker. I'm sorry, Pip. We all know. We know. Everything about you screams why you would have that vanity plate. We know why. We know your love and your passion for this subject matter. But honestly, it's a little fucking much. And if he saw the car, he would say, take it off. Either clean up the car or take it off. That's what would happen.
That is what happened. Why do you have to always bring that up?
I'm trying to fix you. I'm trying to fix you. That's what I'm doing here.
There's no fixing.
There's not enough.
Joe?
You're right, Joe. There's not enough time in the world.
No. Much like our esteemed president number 45, I will never give up. I will never quit. I will keep on trying to fix this problem. Pip is my election. I might suffer loss after loss after loss, but I'm going to keep on fighting.
Oh, election, you said. Okay.
Election, erection, whatever, Joe. Whatever. You know. All right. But so 66% of the show agrees Pip's a douchebag. That's the point. All right. And we're going to go to another douchebag. We're going to another douchebag. This douchebag, I hold in much less regard than I hold our own douchebag. But we will do this story right here. A New Jersey woman, fucking Jersey, was fired by Starbucks for refusing to wear a Pride t-shirt because of her religious beliefs. Why? Was it a cotton blend, you dumbass? Betsy Fressy, a Christian from Newark, who started working as a Starbucks barista in December 2015. All right, so you don't have a lot of options. Alleged in a suit filed last week that she was assured by managers that her faith wouldn't be an issue after transferring to a store in Glen Ridge early last year. But months later, during a meeting in a manager's office in June 2019, Fressy noticed a box of Starbucks Pride shirts on a desk. She then asked if she'd be required to wear one, which would be, quote, tantamount to forced speech. Because she believes marriage is defined by the Bible as between one man and one woman only. First of all, can we just stop right there? How many fucking concubines are there in the Bible? Enough with one man and one. There are whores all over the place in the Bible. You know, you're sleeping with 100-year-old men in the Bible. Slaves are sleeping with men in the Bible. So let's not use the Bible to define marriage unless we're just going to do some kinky shit. If we're going to do some kinky shit, then by all means, throw the Bible in. Because if not, it's not the puritanical bullshit you think it is.
Well, you know what? If the Bible had a theme song, it would be Brown Chicken, Brown Cow.
Seriously.
There's a lot of getting down in all kinds of ways in the Bible.
Mary
Magdalene supposedly was a hoe.
We used to play a game on the show many, many, many years ago, God or Lover. And the theme of the song was, did it come from the Bible or was it like part of like a porn title somewhere? It was very hard to tell. So don't give me the Bible is all about, well, a man and a woman, they fall in love, and they, you know, nobody has sex, and they're going to be with each other forever, and they're going to honor each other. Nah, there's a bunch of whores and skanks running around in the Bible.
But here's the deal. That's what the Bible says, okay? That's what the Bible says. You either believe that or you don't. If that is your conviction, and you feel that wearing the rainbow shirt or a pride shirt is against your religious convictions, you know, you shouldn't be fired for that.
All right, let's go on. Let's get through this story. But what I'm telling, before we even get to, I'm telling you is she doesn't understand the Bible. Her interpretation of the Bible is incorrect because the Bible's all about getting your rocks off. You know, if you can bang a slave or a concubine, go for it. Fuck your wife. Who gives a shit about her? Not literally. There's concubines that need your attention. You're 100 years old and your wife can't do it for you? That's all right. Bring the slave girl in. So really. I mean, the Mormons are closer to what the Bible is than what this woman's interpretation of the Bible is. The Bible is a very kinky and magical book. It is. It is. Listen.
Well, that's why they have Bible study classes, so you can read the book. You sit there and you try to figure out what the hell they're saying.
No, but not these people. They're making shit up. They're making up their own version of this shit. Don't read this. Read Dr. Seuss. I don't got time for this. All right. She believes marriage is defined by the Bible as between one man and one woman, only the law states these. You know what else they have in the Bible? Giants. Do you think giants are real, or are they just basketball players? What's the deal with giants? Stupid.
Also, if you look at certain people, you could turn to salt.
Yeah. I mean, I've gotten salty looks, but I've never turned to salt. Mrs. Fresset.
They didn't fuck around back then.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, really?
I'd like a little pepper with this. No black. Anyway, Mrs. Fresset hold the personal religious belief that all people need Jesus. They need the Jesus. The filing continues. Mrs. Fresset believes that every Christian is called to love and treat everyone with respect and compassion, irrespective of their religious or other beliefs. Fresset's manager told her she wouldn't have to wear the shirt at work, only for a district manager to tell her in late August that her employment had been terminated, according to the lawsuit filed on November 19th in the U.S. District Court in New Jersey. A notice of separation from Starbucks. It's called paying for your Frappuccino and leaving. Oh, my God. A notice of separation from Starbucks cited in the filing said Fresset was fired for violating the company's core values and that she said her colleagues need Jesus when she was given the T-shirt. I think we need a high caliber T-shirt. I mean, this is a little itchy, but that'd be me. We enforce these values when we embrace inclusion and diversity and welcome and learn from people with different backgrounds and perspectives, the termination notice read. Fresset's suit, which alleges unlawful discrimination, is seeking back pay, punitive damages, and payment of her attorney's fees. It also seeks permanent injunction preventing Starbucks from failing to accommodate the sincerely held religious beliefs. Why didn't they just say she made a lousy cup of coffee? I don't know. Reach for comment Thursday. A rep for Starbucks said Fresset's allegations were baseless. We are very aware of the claims by Mrs. Fresset, which are without merit, and we are fully prepared to present our case in court, a Starbucks spokesman told the Post. Specific to our dress code, other than our green apron, no part of our dress code requires partners to wear any approved items that they have not personally selected. I don't even understand how a person's religious beliefs comes into fucking any play in fucking Starbucks. If somebody from Starbucks is asking me about my religious beliefs, I'm complaining that's right out of bounds. Now, you have no right to ask me about my religious beliefs. I'm here to serve the fucking coffee. Now, if I'm going on about my religious beliefs, shut the fuck up! We just want you to serve the coffee and push some crappy jazz CDs. That's all you have to do. Maybe push out a fucking scone. Nobody gives a shit. Shut the fuck up! Up again with everybody with their opinions. Nobody gives a shit.
Well, here's the deal. If basically, look, if she's, you know, espousing her religious beliefs at work, maybe that was one of the problems that led up to that.
That's what Starbucks is saying. That's what Starbucks is saying when she said everybody needs Jesus, because now she's pushing her beliefs. You probably got people that don't feel they need Jesus. So she started this shit. That's according to Starbucks.
Okay, well, it's something that, you know, maybe to tell her to tamp it down. If there was somebody that's gay or transgender or something like that, and she doesn't want to work with them because she doesn't have that belief, you can't. That's wrong. She can't do that. If they have a pride shirt that they want her to wear that she does not want to wear because it goes against the religious beliefs, now there's a problem on that. So I think there's a whole lot of stuff going on here.
Hold on. It's a goddamn rainbow, and it says the word pride. It doesn't say, hey, look at these two guys fucking at the end of the rainbow. It's a goddamn rainbow. Kermit the Frog sung about the rainbow connection.
But if it's against your religious beliefs and it's something that she want you to wear, that is a problem.
It's,
if she doesn't want to work with people because they're gay and they're...
Hold on. Pride.
Or whatever, you know.
Pride in a rainbow says nothing about marriage. It only says something about marriage if you put it in. Look at Pip frozen in a weird fucking facial position. Like she's having a stroke.
Look like a rabbit.
Stay that way.
It's stroke out helix. Look at Pip with the Bell's palsy tonight. Anyway. the fun of Zoom. But no, she's inferring all this stuff from the T-shirt. The T-shirt says nothing. I support gay marriage. It just says, if anything, I support gay people having pride and being themselves. It says nothing about them. They should be able to marry. She's putting all this shit in there. Wear the goddamn shirt.
But it's but her beliefs, her religious beliefs, are stating against gays.
You know where your religious beliefs end?
Not supporting a gay lifestyle.
Here's the problem with America.
You make it to wear a shirt that supports that. That's the problem.
Here's the problem with America.
Because they're gay, you gotta go.
What they do in other countries is your religious beliefs are your own. In America, everybody feels the need to fucking push their goddamn religious beliefs. That's why we have wars. That's why we have cases like this. Shut the fuck up. If you believe one thing about gay people, do it in your own house. Do it in your car with your douchebag vanity plate. Just don't fucking bring it to the office. I'm just trying to push $7 coffee. That's all I want to do.
Isn't it kind of interesting, though, that the whole pride movement is to promote the ability of gay people to have the same rights as everybody else? And yet, here was a person who said, y'all need Jesus, and she was fired.
Well, that's a religious thing. Like I said, espousing her religion in front of everybody, is she, casting out people that are gay? That's the whole thing. If it's your refusal to work with people because they're gay or whatever their sexual contact is, that you can't do that.
Yeah, but our courts, our courts have ruled corporations do not have to provide birth control, which is part of the Health Care Act, because it's against their religious beliefs. So, I mean, the court is willing to fucking get involved in this shit. They just shouldn't. It's just stupid.
Yeah.
Just keep your beliefs out of it. You know, Joe, you know why they're pushing the pride shirts if they were? Because it's good for business. That's why they're doing it. If it wasn't good for business, they wouldn't do it.
But, like I said, the story is complicated. I don't have a problem with Starbucks putting on the pride shirt. You know, if you want to have the people wearing the pride shirt and the employees want to wear them, that's fine. Who cares? Just give me my chocolate mocha, my latte, and let me get out of there. If it is not conducive with your religious beliefs, and you did not want to wear the shirt because it's not conducive with your religious belief, and you got fired for it, there's a problem here.
You know what the result's going to be? The result would be me, and I've talked about this when we were getting a lot of the Me Too stuff. The undesired consequences, if it's me, I'm not fucking hiring evangelical Christians. I don't need the fucking grief. If you feel that strongly about your Lord where you're going to bring it into my workplace, I'm not fucking hiring you. Give me a fucking pack of atheists and push the goddamn coffee. That's all I want. I'm here to make money. I'm not here to fucking kiss your ass. Put on the shirt or get to stepping. I don't got time for this shit.
I kind of wish they could have just come to the conclusion where she could wear like a black polo and just go about her business.
Starbucks,
she didn't want to wear it, so what?
Starbucks said she didn't have to wear the shirt. Starbucks said the issue was when she says everybody needs Jesus. She says that Starbucks says that goes against our inclusivity. And I get that, because when you're saying everybody needs Jesus, you're judging everybody else. And you know what? That's not good for teamwork. That's not good for morale if this one thinks she's better than that one because she's got Jesus in her life. She did this to herself. She should have left fucking Jesus at home.
Well, how many times did she say everybody needs Jesus? Did she make a scene about saying or anybody needs Jesus? Or did she just mention it in passing? Everybody needs Jesus, and they said it the wrong way.
Listen, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't there.
The crux of the situation. Was she very adamant about it where it got to be a distraction? Was it a comment that she made when she didn't want to wear the shirt? You know, it's another story where they're not really getting into the nuts and bolts of it.
Listen, here's my take.
Yeah.
Here's my take.
Yeah.
If your religion means you're bringing to your workplace judgment, I'm not hiring you. It has nothing to do with your religion. It's your interpretation of your religion, because it ruins the teamwork.
Where was judgment? And I'm not being facetious. I'm being curious. Where was judgment in this story? That she brought judgment.
When Fresse said she believes everybody needs Jesus in their life, because now you're
that's more of an opinion and it's not a judgment where there's a problem between employees because she's looking down. That's a judgment.
Right.
It's an opinion.
It's a judgment, because what happens if I don't believe in Jesus? I'm thinking less of you. And that's a problem. I don't want that on my team. Take Jesus out of my fucking Starbucks. That's all I'm saying.
But was it a repeated thing? Was it a repeated
It seems
thing,
like it happened a couple of times.
But she had to wear the shirt.
It seems like,
yeah, like was it a one-time thing that she just said, y'all need Jesus, you know? I mean, like, or was it like she was ranting and raving and thumping on the Bible, literally?
Exactly. You know, that could be more, you know, thing. Also, a freedom of religion thing you could also bring up.
This is what they said. They said she violated their core values when she said her colleagues need Jesus when she was given the shirt. So the implication is, if you're gay, you don't have Jesus in your life. And that's judgment. Listen, she did it to herself. She should just shut the fuck up or go work at a Christian company. Go work at Michael's Hobby not Michael's. Go work at the Hobby Lobby. Go work there. Go work at Chick-fil-A. There's other jobs you can do. If you have an issue, you don't work at Starbucks. It's not like she has a special skill set. We're talking about Starbucks. No disrespect to them. I can't make a cup of coffee. I tried it once in the Bahamas last year, and I had crunchy coffee. So I'm not the guy. I know my limitations. But I mean, really, we're not talking about this woman has a special skill set that we need her here. We don't need you here. You can work the cashier at the Hobby Lobby. Get the step and you're causing problems. Get to the people with the vanity plates. I don't have time for this shit.
But still, it's a problem. You know, so my coworkers need Jesus. If that's the only thing she said, she didn't wear the shirt. And they fired her for that. That's still an issue. That it's a religious belief, and it's not. You know, if it was a repeated situation, maybe.
It's kind of like, you know, if it was a repeated thing and she was being a pain about it, and they said, look, we told you don't, you know, proselytize at work, you know, and then she kept doing it, that's a problem. But But the thing is also that, you know, if she's being a pain in the ass about it, I can see them going, you have to get
that. Let's be real.
It's ironic that in order to be inclusive, they were saying everybody put on pride shirts, but they weren't being inclusive about someone's religion. That's the irony I'm talking about.
Let's be real here. Does anybody know this particular brand of Christian that isn't always pushing their fucking beliefs? I mean, there's Christian, and then there's this type of Christian. This is the type of Christian you would avoid and you roll your eyes at. Not because they're Christian, but because they're trying to push their shit on everybody else. It's the same thing with Jews or any other religion that try to push their shit on everybody else. Shut the fuck up!
We don't, and that's the thing in this story. Believe me, born-again Christians are the most aggravating people. Because I don't want to wind up spending eternity for them to walk around me going, I told you so, you know? But the story doesn't leaves out whether it was just a small incident where she said it, or as Pip was saying, she's been proselytizing, and you know, enough is enough with this. So, you know, it's kind of a void in the story that it's kind of hard to make a decision on this.
Yeah, but you know what? At what point did it? Let's be honest. It's not that hard to replace this dopey broad. They just wanted her gone. Why can't you just fire somebody for being annoying? She was fired.
But you can't. If it's a freedom of religion violation.
She can listen. She can pray to God all she wants. Just don't judge my fucking crew. Just push the muffins. Push the $5 muffins.
If it was one isolated incident,
it wasn't.
It wasn't.
Huh? I wasn't, and I have two ways to back me up, and I think you'll have to agree with me. As we first said, we know this brand of Christianity, very pushy and annoying. That's one. Part two, Jersey. Do you know anybody from Jersey that can shut the fuck up? No. So you,
no.
No.
You have me on the Jersey point.
Exactly.
But on the brand of Christianity, it wasn't spelled out the brand of Christianity.
Listen.
I didn't say
listen.
She was about Catholic if she was a born-again Christian. It wasn't really spelled out in the story. With people in Jersey not being able to shut the fuck up,
Yes! Yes!
So this is really weird foreshadowing, and you'll understand that later.
I think she was fucking annoying, and you can't just terminate people in this day and age. You have to have a reason.
No, no. If you're a lot of states have at-will employment, and you can be fired for just being fucking annoying.
All right, then that's what they should have said.
Yeah, you're just fucking annoying. Pay for your frappuccino and get the fuck out.
Oh my God.
But here's the deal. And I don't know who did the firing, but still, when you, I don't know if you've ever hired or fired people. I have. It's not like you're Mr. Slate. You're fired. You fired somebody. The manager wants to have a meeting with you to find out what happened, what transpired. Are you not training the person correctly? So it's not like you could sit there like Mr. Slate and fire people day in and day out. So you have to have a damn good reason for it. So, you know, that's why if the person is aggravating, you have to have a decent case.
I don't need her.
Especially if it's a freedom of religion issue here.
It's not a free. It's a T-shirt. She wasn't asked to have a lesbian session in the fucking beautiful Starbucks bathroom. It's a goddamn T-shirt.
And what a shame she wasn't.
Religious belief, it's an issue.
You listen, if your religious belief prohibits you from T-shirts, again, I don't fucking need you. You're a delicate flower. I'm just trying to push the fucking crawlers. Let's go.
Wait a second.
Get it moving.
Were the types of fabric mixed? Because you know there's a lesson against that in the Bible.
Again, for all the issues Starbucks has.
But here's the deal. When you let somebody, like I said, you know, if people think it's, you know, you're like, Mr. You're fired. When you let some, like I said, you let somebody go, you have to meet your boss, find out what happened. Now you have to hire. Now you have to interview, which is a federal case. Now you have to train.
This woman.
It's a big deal, you know, I mean, if she sucked as a barista, yeah, get the hell, you know, scram.
This woman.
But if it's for that, there's a lot that goes into it. To fire and rehire and train again.
This woman, it's
a time waster.
This woman is so pathetic, she actually had to transfer from one Starbucks to another. It's fucking Starbucks! It's not like I'm asking you to transfer from one hospital to another. It's fucking Starbucks! This is not high-end shit here. They butcher a name on a cup, occasionally act racist, sometimes they're douches to cops, always keep the bathroom clean, and let the out-of-work fucking film writers have a fucking seat. It's Starbucks! It's not that fucking difficult. You let douchebags like me right in there so I can seem important, and you try not to offend me. Keep your god out of my latte. Enough! Alright, let's move on. Let's move on. Talk about a debate of absurdity. Ugh, I hope that... Ugh.
Maybe we have to skip that.
Oh my god. You know what? I hope this woman gets a job at the last Sears in New Jersey. There's one left, I found out yesterday. I hope she gets a job there, because she'll be out of work soon. That's what I hope.
Where is it?
I forgot. It's in a mall, I think.
I think we still have one out here. It's like the Smith Haven Mall out here. You know, it's funny because I did a joke about going to Sears a year or so ago, and she goes, "Can I have your phone number?" I go, "Why?" "But Sears reward points." I go, "Getting Sears reward points now is like getting a room upgrade on the Titanic."
Well, it's funny. I asked this person, I go, "Did they ask you if you wanted a Sears credit card?" She's like, "No." I'm like, "Yeah, they're done. They're sticking a fork in it." Because those stores always push their credit card. Even Sears like, "Yeah,
yeah.
We got nothing." All right, let's do a great debate of absurdity. I shall play the music.
Country has seen great debates in history. Lincoln Douglas, 1858. Nixon Kennedy, 1960. Bush Clinton and Perot in 1992. But that all stops now. Welcome to Davin's Den's Great Debates in Absurdity.
Should have played this before the first Trump-Biden debate.
All right.
So tonight's debate will be a very spirited debate between Joe and Pip. Joe will be arguing that paper cuts are the worst self-inflicted wound, and Pip will be arguing that biting the tongue is the worst self-inflicted wound. Who would like to make their opening statement first?
I have Pip make her opening statement
Okay.
All right, Pip, you go first.
Okay. Literally, biting your tongue is much worse than a paper cut. The initial injury is so painful, you can't even yell about it without sounding like you have a dick in your mouth. And since the injury blows up immediately, like some dicks, you almost do. But now you can't even do a good job because you can't feel half of your tongue, and what you feel hurts, and you might even wince and bite down. Ugh. This is going to be a gigantic hit to my bottom line, Daddy. That injury is going to be with you for days, like a herpes outbreak. There's no way you can go around like that, Mr. Mumbles. You have to take off work, and then they get pissed, and you lose your job, and you get like $336 a week from unemployment, which is dick. So dick is why biting your tongue is worse.
Joe, what's Joe, do you have anything to say to that opening statement of hers before you give yours?
No, because I think my opening statement will say it all.
Okay.
Okay.
I hope there's a lot less dicks in your opening statement.
For a few minutes.
Wait. Wait, start again. Go on, now.
Beg your pardon?
I was talking when you started reading, so people couldn't hear.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go.
Ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you bite your tongue, the pain is just for a few minutes. If you get a paper cut, the pain lingers a lot longer, about 2 to 3 days. Mouth wounds heal up faster than cuts on skin, and because scientists know why. According to new research published in Science Translational Medicine, mouths are primed for healing because the wound repair genes work quicker than they do on the skin. The skin will take a lot longer than it will in the mouth to heal. Your tongue and finger can go to some of the same spots. There's some faves that mine go. However, your finger can go in a lot more places, and the risk for infection is a lot greater than biting your tongue. Every time you grab something with a paper cut, you feel it for days. You really don't feel residual pain after you bite your tongue. You'll feel the initial pain, you'll yell in pain, but eventually the pain goes away relatively quickly. As the pain of biting your tongue lasts longer in your mind, you bite your tongue, yet you get that initial feeling. However, because the pain in a paper cut lasts longer, your imagination takes over. So every time you feel that pain, your mind races and goes, ugh, it feels like a chainsaw took my finger out, or a steak knife, or a table saw. The pain is worse. A paper cut reminds you every day it's there, where biting your tongue does not.
Well, I mean, I must have to say right off the bat, I mean, the inspiration for this great debate of absurdity is I bit my tongue like a week or two ago, and I felt it for the good part of a week. I disagree with your science, which is something, a sentence I never thought I'd say to Joe before. But I think the main point of your argument is wrong. I mean, I think depending how hard, yeah, I think it really depends on how hard you bite your tongue, on how quickly it heals.
Absolutely.
Statistics show that biting your tongue, the pain lasts maybe about 5 minutes. Basically, statistics also show that a paper cut lasts 3 to 4 days.
And what is your source? Where is this study so we can look it up?
Basically, you could look it up on the internet. There's several scientific facts. I can look at it now. She could look it up right now.
You didn't cite your source?
Well, one of it is the science translational medicine. Saying that the paper cuts last longer.
What does Dr. Atlas say on this? Being an esteemed radiologist, I'm sure he has a lot of opinions.
Dr. Atlas.
Well, I think from personal experience, I think a paper cut can last several days, but sometimes I find the skin heals very quickly.
Yes, but that's not true. The paper cut lasts a lot longer.
Pip. How would you prevent people from biting their tongue?
Well, it depends on whether you mean that literally or figuratively.
I mean it figuratively. Literally, I hit them in the back of the head with a shovel. But figuratively, or literally. You know what?
Well, literally preventing people from... You would really have to devise some kind of device, like one of those little corrugated cardboard cup rings that goes around the hot cup holder. You'd have to devise one of those to go around your tongue to completely be safe from biting your tongue. But the thing is that it's going to happen. Tongues, despite what Joe says, tongues can get into just as many places as fingers, maybe more. And I can see Joe as an Italian, why he would think that paper cuts are worse, but that's not true for the rest of us who don't talk with our hands. We talk with our mouths. And your mouth is ruined if you get a paper cut. You bite down on it. You're going to be hampered for days. It hurts. Depends on how hard you chow down.
Joe, how would you prevent people from getting a paper cut?
Wear gloves. Wear work gloves. Good thick leather.
Good thick leather, you say. That sounds a little inconvenient, say, in the summer, or if I'm working with, like, delicate things, or if I'm working with paper. Because paper, a lot of times, you need the dexterity of your fingers. So I don't know if big, thick leather gloves are going to be the answer, Joe. I don't know if you have a solution. All right,
I think gloves would be the answer on that.
Yeah, I don't think so. Joe, how does distraction play into said injuries?
Being in a hurry. If you're trying to get something done and quick, and you're trying to pay a bill or get show prep, a good example, that would also work into getting a paper cut. Also, basically, several sources from my thing, Wex Medical OSU Education blog, 3 days. You also have Healthline that says 3 days. HealthTap.com, 3 days. Documentation here.
That has nothing to do with distraction, though. I'm trying to figure out, because I find these injuries are very often due to distraction. So we're trying to solve the problem. So how can we make sure you don't get distracted? How can we get people to focus so they don't get paper cuts, Joe?
Slower pace. Work slower. Basically, people lose their concentration when they're doing something. So you have to find the time to work with any piece of paper when there is plenty of time to be allotted.
Which most offices accommodate for. Many offices are like, please, take your time. You're working with paper. It's very dangerous. Please go slow.
Then there needs to be protocol. There needs to be protocol at offices on a certain amount of time to work with paper. An hour, maybe mailing a letter, an hour and a half. like I said, gloves can be provided. Maybe a smaller glove that's resistant to a tear. But that also could be work. Paper cuts are, you know, especially in this pandemic time, paper cuts are something that we need to understand, and work to avoid.
Pip, same question to you. How does distraction play into biting your tongue?
Absolutely. If you're chowing down on pizza like a Gavone, and all of a sudden you're just diving in there on your food and you just chomp, you're going to bite the inside of your mouth, you're going to bite your tongue, you have to slow down. I think that he's absolutely right about the slowing down factor.
But Pip, I'm on my work, I only have a half an hour, I have to get to the Starbucks to get my croissant sandwich, I got this dopey broad preaching about Jesus, she's taking her time, I don't have time to slow down. I have to gulp it down.
I think you have to, like, open your mouth really wide so that your tongue has lots of room to work, and stay away from those teeth chomping down.
I think it's
going to look weird.
I think it's
but
more
it's
of a teeth.
Work.
I think it's more of a teeth issue. I feel like when you bring the tongue into it, you're blaming the victim, and we don't like that here. I feel like you're victim blaming.
Well, it's sort. I could possibly be victim blaming.
You are. I mean, the teeth are clearly the aggressor. The tongue is doing its job by tasting. How would people possibly support this, Pip? Somebody who victim blames.
We can totally go full mega down and just file the edges of these suckers so that all you can eat for the rest of your life is some applesauce and yogurt. Mm. You know, I think that would totally produce the effect that we want, and that's no chomping down on the tongue.
So more of a liquid diet.
More of a liquid diet, sure. A very moist, mushy diet.
That sounds.
Where you don't have to chew.
Sounds repulsive. I liked it better when you're shoving dicks in your mouth.
So does everybody.
Yes. Do you guys have any questions for each other?
I have a statement for Joe. Now, Joe, as an Italian-American and as a Northeasterner, you've eaten your share of pizza. What's going to hurt worse, pizza, tomato sauce on a paper cut, or on that really sore lump on your tongue?
I would say on a paper cut, because anything dealing with a paper cut is an excruciating pain.
Excruciating?
That would just exacerbate it more so than something in the mouth.
Joe, you say excruciating. Would you support assisted suicide for a particularly bad paper cut since it's so excruciating?
Yes, I would. Yes, I would.
Perhaps, would it be better?
Try to put a Band-Aid on that, and a Band-Aid closes up, and it hurts even more. Sometimes with a paper cut, it's pain and that you would wish ended. Such a sharp pain, than more than a lot of other pain, more than a mouth pain. And basically everything you touch, everything you feel that sharp, sharp pain. And it's invisible.
Wait a minute.
It's invisible. It's a pain that so minuscule, it's a pain you can't see. Nothing worse than an invisible pain.
That's incorrect.
Invisible if it's in your mouth.
No, that's incorrect. Worse than an invisible pain is a pain that you live with and see all the time. So I must correct you there.
That's true.
Joe, do you have any statements or questions for Pip?
No, I don't. I feel that my evidence is very conclusive.
I have one more question for Joe.
I don't know if I want to allow that.
What's that?
So I don't know if I want to allow that.
Pretty please with sugar on it?
That might hurt my my cut on my tongue.
Sugar's not going to hurt that tongue biting.
Everything hurt. I bit the tip. It was fucking awful. All right. What's your statement or your last question?
So what if you were a dragon and you bite your tongue and you have a paper cut on those sharp scales? What's going to really hurt? The fire blasting out right next to your injury? Or this tiny little paper cut on those six scales. If you were a dragon, I win.
Being a dragon is not based in reality. It is not part of this discussion.
Yeah, I feel like the biggest crime in this whole debate of absurdity was me allowing that last statement. I feel like we would have ended on a much higher note until Pip brought her stupid fantasies involved if you were a dragon.
Wait a minute. No, this isn't fantasy. This is real. Now, your mission is to save the elven princess, and now you can't even use your fire. How's this supposed to happen?
Yeah.
Sorry. It's not germane to the conversation.
Yeah, I think you just gave the debate to Joe by being incredibly stupid.
I'm not talking about a German conversation. We're speaking in English.
Germans ain't got nothing to do with it. Sit in the car, boy.
Yeah. I'll tell you this.
Put the evidence in the car, Junior.
I will tell you this. You're both wrong. It's stubbing your toe in the middle of the night. But anyway.
Oh, damn!
Because that shit will make you curse.
God almighty, dude. And then you try to get your mind off. All right, I just stubbed my toe. Then I'm like, what if I stub it in a buzzsaw? Yeah, it feels like I stubbed it in a buzzsaw. I'm going to lose my foot. And you just go back to bed. Oh, it hurts. It hurts. And then you get into bed, and then you just sit there and go, oh, I hurt my toe. And you got to sit there till you fall asleep till the toe pain goes away.
All right.
And even if you break that sucker, there's nothing to do for it.
Nope.
But strap it to the other one and wait until it heals.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Very, very well done. That was certainly absurd. All right. On the break, we have new music from Emma Lentina with Last Christmas. I love Last Christmas. That's one of my favorite Christmas songs. I have two, and that's one of them. This is her version of that. And the band The Cut, oh, how appropriate, with Waiting for Christmas. And you can learn more about both those artists at deucemusic.com. When we come back, we will continue our saga with Lady Scammer Carolyn and Fake Davin. We'll pick up with that. So short break. We'll be right back.